The following is the lecture on the eve of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarup Das Goswami on November 9th, 1991 in Vrindavan.
I was asked to introduce the evening also, and Sachinandan Maharaj will be our master of ceremonies for all the speakers. This is called churning the nectar of memories and talks of Srila Prabhupada. Tomorrow is the actual disappearance day celebration, and in the morning devotees will be speaking their homages and throughout the day. So this is getting ourselves warmed up for this event tomorrow, and indicates also that it should not be isolated only to one particular date on the calendar. Therefore, I wanted to pose the question, why is it important to remember and talk about Srila Prabhupada? Of course, this question may especially be relevant for the non-devotee, and we will have to explain to him why Prabhupada is important. But outside of that discussion, even among devotees, the question may be raised, and some devotees may think, let us just work for Prabhupada and preach the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. There is no particular need to remember him as a person. But this is not Siddhanta, this is not right to speak only the teachings of Prabhupada and not become attached to him personally, which will be the result of effective talking about him. In the verses devotees have been speaking on in the morning, this has been repeated, that one should be attached to the sadhu and thereby will lose all material attachment. So these memories, stories, and realizations of Prabhupada as a person will help us all to render our service to him while conscious of our personal relationship with his divine grace. I also wanted to raise a question as to when, on what occasions or on what ways we should remember Srila Prabhupada. And I'm going to mention just a few. Just to impress upon us how his presence is all-pervading in our lives. It's just a matter of our noticing it and appreciating it. So one way in which we remember Prabhupada is for authoritative reference in the life of Krishna consciousness. We're always saying, Prabhupada said, and this is ultimate conclusion. Just for this morning's class, and it happens every morning, but this morning Ananda Swarup Maharaj was asked the question, what is it you said that the demigods are persons who enjoy material pleasure but don't forget Krishna? So he said, all I can say is that I read it in Prabhupada's purport. This is what it says. So we may try to understand it further, certainly, but at that point there is no debate of whether the statement has validity, because we have referred to something that Prabhupada has said. So he is the basis of our faith. We may say, I have faith in Krishna, I have faith in Bhagavad Gita. But ultimately, our faith and the Krishna conscious movement rests on the fact that Prabhupada has staunch faith and has presented Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, and we accept him. So he's remembered by us at the time when we most want authoritative reference. I certainly remember this as the as the essence of our Krishna consciousness in the days of 1966 when Prabhupada first began preaching in ISKCON. There it was clear there was nothing else. There was just the ocean of Maya, and there was one light in the ocean in the personification of Prabhupada. More or less no books, no other devotees, nothing. So he is the reference to remember for being Krishna conscious, Prabhupada said. We also remember Prabhupada when we want to pray. We may pray to Krishna, we may pray to many members of the disciplic succession, and we may also pray to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, whether you're direct disciple or next generation disciple. But when if you want to be with Him, you may pray to Prabhupada. I know for myself, the pranam mantras of Prabhupada, they're the most ready prayer that comes to mind, and when it really counts, it's the only prayer I can think of. Yesterday, many of us went to Radhakund, and we visited many places and made dandabats before so many samadhis and in Radhakund herself. But at each instance, all I could remember when I tried to be earnest was this one prayer, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhagavaya. And I think that it is sufficient to pray. The Prabhupada, I don't know anything, I don't know any persons, but if you will accept me, if I can please you by service, then I can become a good devotee by your grace. So this is another way to remember him when we want to pray. And when we want to worship, adore, praise. All of these things are done in disciplic succession, starting with your spiritual master. One gets everything from the spiritual master. And so spiritual life means to worship he who is great, he with under whose lotus feet you can take shelter. Especially people who have any inclination for religion, they want to worship. Because we're worshiping the deity. We worship in the temple. So this need for worship is also fulfilled in relation to Prabhupada, and it is another way that we remember him, as we can do most magnificently in all of ISKCON in this Prabhupada Samadhi, Prabhupada worship. Another way we remember is when we have the natural spiritual feeling of gratitude. And if these feelings don't come automatically, we may also bring them to mind as a deliberate practice to worship, to pray, and to feel grateful. So it is very appropriate to turn to Prabhupada with feelings of gratitude, because he brought us to Krishna consciousness, he brought us away from the dangerous life in which we were living, full of sinful activity. Each one of us can enumerate individually the ways that we are grateful to His Divine Grace. And when it's time for self-examination, which leads to repentance, this is also a time to turn to Prabhupada. We examine ourselves to how am I doing in Krishna consciousness? What are my faults? What are my lackings? How can I improve? And you do that before, in the presence of Srila Prabhupada. Because we are examined according to the standard of whether we please Him. We want to be in His presence and there feel the regret for our failure to serve Him properly, expecting His mercy and forgiveness. So in almost any spiritual state of consciousness, Prabhupada remembrance is foremost. Also, when it's time to put aside reading and introspection and to work, to do some activity, then we remember Prabhupada, that let me do something in his movement. Let me help to maintain, in any small way I can, the Krishna consciousness movement. Then naturally we think of him, because we think of all the different ways that he has asked us to work, and the very fact that he does emphasize not just sitting down and meditating and praying, but to do something substantial in the service of Krishna. And conversely, when we do sit down to study scripture, we study Prabhupada's books, we remember him. So with so many ways to remember Srila Prabhupada, it is unfortunate, but true, though, that we do not remember him enough. On any day, at least I say this for myself, and sometimes in conversation with others, it also seems that we do not think enough of our beloved spiritual master. This is not to criticize association of others, but it's just to bring up the fact that one should remember the spiritual master always, not just three times a day. Remembering him, how and what a dear friend he is, how he is so merciful to us, aspiring to be with him again. But why don't we do this constantly? One reason is, we say, we are so busy. We have so many things to do, and many of them may be in the service of Prabhupada, but somehow they become too external if they do not allow us to remember his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. And then when we do remember him, oh, I remember Srila Prabhupada, in a rare moment, it is not done, we think, with sufficient feeling. We do not cry. Whereas, actually, although we have so many duties, in the advanced state, a devotee may simply remember Srila Prabhupada and cry in separation, and cry thinking of his wonderful qualities. So now we can begin hearing from many devotees. Some will tell their anecdotes of times when with Prabhupada, or equally valid to speak appreciation according to the philosophy of Srila Prabhupada, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, appreciation of Prabhupada, from any and many angles of vision. So I've had my time to speak, but I'll just briefly try to give a little recall from the time that I turned to most with most pleasure and feeling of love for Prabhupada is in the initial period of Prabhupada in New York City in 1966. I'll just mention a few things. One thing is, in those days, we called Prabhupada by the name Swamiji, or the Swami. Now, objectively speaking, that may seem almost like an insult, and it is, in a sense, not an exalted title for him. But we asked him what is your name, or how do we call you? And he gave us that name. And for us, we said it with much affection, as much affection as we say Prabhupada, we called him by that name. And we recall him in this extraordinary entrance into New York City in 1966. If New York City is not the toughest city in the world, it's certainly one of them. And there was no chance of meeting such a soft, pure, and strong Vaishnava in that city. But Prabhupada came, and the wonderful thing about it is, although the devotees were very primitive, in a very primitive state, somehow he evoked a love for him and a sense of the rarity of our contact with him. And we were very excited by it, even entertained by it, and very happy that we had in our lives this guru, a bona fide guru, who is going to change everything by our going to him and hearing from him. So this quality is somehow indescribable, the power and the sweetness of Prabhupada in New York City giving his mercy in the beginning. And he gave it very personally. Everyone got a chance to be with him alone, to ask their crazy questions. And even such wonderful exchanges, Prabhupada used to cook for the devotees. And we would eat in his presence, and he would encourage us, take more, eat more. So he was like our father, and we were like sons and daughters in a family. In those days, although we knew very little, and we loved Prabhupada as our familiar Swamiji, he was also very grave. And we appreciated and knew that he was grave. We saw it in his eyes. That is, that he had an intimate relationship with Krishna that we could not know about. We knew this instinctively, and it very much attracted us. And it helped us to understand that he's not one of us. Perhaps we, not knowing so much about Krishna consciousness, were a bit sentimental about it, but the sentiment was well placed. And correct in noticing that he was very extraordinary because he is always with Krishna, and yet he is very kind because he's always with us. It's not that we thought he's always with us only. Then why would we be attracted to him? Just that somebody comes from India and agrees to be with you. But he was with us and he was with Krishna, and we could see this especially in his eyes. And in his speech also, when he would say things like, Krishna consciousness is such a nice thing. That was his way of indicating that he was tasting the nice thing and that we could also taste it. And we were able to taste it very immediately, especially in Prabhupada's kirtans. When Prabhupada sang Hare Krishna, lead singing, and we sang in the chorus, he invited us, he embraced us into the kirtan and included us in that, at least for a while, in that mystical, unknowable to us relationship that he has with Krishna. He was able to allow us to also share it, although it may have looked like a raggedy bunch and sounded like a raucous kind of kirtan. It was actually within the internal energy. So I better check myself from taking too much time. And try to now take the place, which is very important in these Prabhupada evenings, the place of submissive hearing from each devotee who is speaking, and thereby fill ourselves with the nourishment of hearing about Prabhupada. Thank you very much. All right.